let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. After 29 years of teaching in higher education, T.P. Bryson retired to pursue other personal interests, mainly writing, reading, traveling, and watching a lot of anime. As a huge fan of sci-fi, supernatural, and horror fiction, T.P. loves books, movies, and animation about these imaginative and speculative genres. He lives with his wife and their five cats in Ogden, Utah. In his riveting science fiction supernatural thriller Shadow Demon, Book 1, Little Toe, a far from typical shadow demon, has a caring and an inquisitive nature. He travels from his universe and into ours through an interdimensional rift that unexpectedly formed inside his cave. Little Toe's curious choices lead him to cross the paths of three teenage geeks. This chance meeting leads to shocking discoveries that change their lives and test their courage to the limit. And author T.P. Bryson, author of Shadow Demon, is our guest on This Week in America. T.P., welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am looking forward to conversation today about the two books that you've written, about this imaginative mind that you have with all these creative things going on there, and how you switched careers to now becoming a successful writer. I briefly talked about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself, the background, and where this desire to write came from.
Yeah, I'm a professor emeritus from Northern Arizona University Department of Theater. I was a scenic designer, actually, and that has obviously has a big influence on everything that I do. As I think back on those days of, you know, theater's a type of storytelling.
Exactly. Yes.
And so, when I retired, I took the chance to just do some things that I didn't have much time to do before, and that was read books. In the midst of all of that, I discovered anime. I know it sounds a little crazy, but for a guy to get into something like that, but I was fascinated by the cultural references and the particular style of the anime. It's very theatrical, especially from an Asian point of view, and the sense of humor is amazing. And the visuals and their representation of characters, as well as, you know, demons and monsters and everything else. I found that really super interesting. And so I decided, after much of time, I'd just seen all the big classics, watched everything, started watching some more, and I thought, you know, I need to tell the stories that are in my head and maybe spend some time telling me a story.
Yes.
That evolved into actually writing some books and writing some short stories. I'm going to publish some short stories as well. And so that's how I ended up into writing, just those kind of influences. And that's what made me change, you know.
Well, that's amazing, the background. We're going to take a second to talk about scenic design with theater. I'm always amazed at what you do, because you really are limited to what you can do on the stage. And you see so many of these big productions, and they're distilled down to something that's manageable on the stage, yet very effective in telling the story. In fact, I'd consider the scenery a big part of the story. That's like another actor out there, isn't it?
Yeah. It is definitely part of the whole thing. The scenery has to be just right. It has to fit the story, but it also can't overpower the characters. Sometimes in big Broadway shows, they kind of go overboard. And you wonder, well, what's this about? It's about the scenery. And so you have to, sometimes the simplest thing that you come up with for a story, for a play, is what you want to do. You're trying to seek out what will bring you into the story, keep you there, and be fascinated so that the audience can really enjoy it and get the meaning of the story, the purpose of the story.
So you don't have a budget for a chandelier falling from the ceiling every night. You can't do things like they do on Broadway. Fascinating what you do. And you're doing the same thing. That was sort of in your imagination or what these stories are and then bringing them to life. Let's talk about some of your inspiration before we get into the story. Are there authors that are your favorites that you enjoy reading them, but you learn something? It's almost like a textbook as you're reading it because you're learning from their knowledge and their presentation.
Oh, yes. And my favorite authors are authors that do write in some, in some unusual styles and universe. So, way back, Ray Bradbury.
Yes.
I was always fascinated with him when I was younger, and I read all the as many Ray Bradbury as I could. And also, getting up a little older, Orson Scott Card, who both, Ender's Game, but a fascinating story about humans and aliens and how that conflict turns really quite sad and ugly at the end. And so I read all of those books, as well as he writes some fantasy stories as well, dealing with magic. And I just found that just so interesting that you could combine sci-fi and fantasy and supernatural, and it all worked really well. Also, Dean Koontz, he has some really interesting things, really interesting books, The Odd Thomas and some others that are really quite fun to read, people with abilities that are beyond the normal, paranormal.
Yes.
And then there's Neil Gaiman and, of course, Terry Pratchett. Really, Terry Pratchett is just absolutely delightful and fun, because his characters are so they're in an unusual world, an unusual universe, and yet they're rather normal people.
Yes.
And I like that, the kind of the interesting juxtaposition of where they were, what kind of character they were, and yet they were just like you and me. And I still found that to be really interesting. So what if demons aren't all evil creatures? Maybe some of them are just regular guys like us, and have similar emotions, similar desires. And so it was worth, that got me into doing some things. And so all of these things, and of course, J.K. Rowling, I got to remember that too, because of all the Harry Potter books.
That's sort of like a hall of fame of writers, isn't it? That you really are learning from and really enjoy reading them. Our guest on the program is T.P. Bryson, B-R-Y-S-O-N. His website is timothybryson.gothambooksinc.com, and we've got that link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Take you right there, book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. What is the genre or style of your writing? And maybe I'm trying to pigeonhole that. Maybe it's broader than just one genre and one style. How would you describe your writing, in particular this book, Shadow Demon?
I have always called it... it's kind of like a triple thing, a sci-fi, fantasy, supernatural.
Yes.
And you put those three together, and that kind of points out the style of what's going on. So anything is possible in that particular realm. And so I like the sci-fi. I've always been a big sci-fi fan. But, you can be out in space and still run into mythological creatures. And do a different battle. It doesn't always have to be an alien. Sometimes it's something else. And so I found that interesting. And interdimensional worlds is what I'm dealing with here in these books. And so who knows what's on another world in a different dimension than this one.
Well, you get us thinking as you're thinking and making this presentation. So, and these books are entertaining, but they're really more than that, aren't they? They give us a really sort of... sort of touches the mind, the heart of the reader as we're going through this and learning something and feeling the emotions you present. You reach us on several levels, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes. I think that's what I like about the universe I've created, in the sense that people are not necessarily who you think they are.
Yes.
Or the stereotypes people will look at, and that there's a whole discussion that in fact in Shadow Demon about what's a geek What's a nerd and what's a dork? And that's a big issue to my characters. And, you know, they love doing things. But then they discover in the process of living just normal life, they accidentally bump into a situation that exposes a whole hidden nature that they did not know existed. And it relates to their family and where they come from and so on. And so they are just woken up in a rather rude shock as to what really is going on is in their lives. What they thought was normal is now they see that it was headed in a different direction. And that opened up a wonderful thing for them, but also a terrifying thing for them. You know, having superpowers, people think, wouldn't it be great to have superpowers? Maybe, but then again, there will be people or the enemy or, you know, people who don't like people with superpowers. Now you've got enemy, then you know, they're going to make your life miserable. So maybe you're better off just being normal like the rest of us.
It's such a wonderful job.
So, yeah, multiple people.
In the two books, Shadow Demon, we're talking about specifically, Shadow Witch as well. Both are available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to Timothy's website, and we'll do that with a direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, his website, timothybryson.gothambooksinc.com. We'll take you there, give you information. You can order that as well. What inspired this particular story that comes into play in Shadow Demon and Shadow Witch? Where did this idea come from? The whole concept of this world that you created?
Interesting enough, I have always had incredible dreams that have been very cinematic.
Yes.
And, you know, beginning, middle, and ends, very lucid. And when I do have something that's interesting, I'll write it down when I wake up and keep that for future purposes. And so much of the things I've been writing have come from that. This particular story came from a dream, or got influenced by a dream, where I was taking my grandkids to the playground that was near where they lived at that time. And as it was starting to get darker, and time to go, but I looked up and up in between the canvas canopy above the playground, I could see these shadowy figures looking down at me with glowing eyes. And then I looked into the trees and saw more of them, and I'm going, what are those things? And then I woke up. And so I wrote that down, and that became Shadow Demons, and that just evolved from there. That's basically how I got the, you know, the information for this particular story.
It's interesting where that came from. You're asleep, but your mind is still functioning, obviously, in these stories and these imaginary worlds that you've created. It comes to life in Shadow Demon. What do you find you would categorize unique about your stories and your characters? There are so many people that attempt to do a sci-fi series. You do this sort of hybrid series with all these elements there, and you bring it all together and you pull it off wonderfully. What is unique about your series, do you think?
In terms of the characters particularly, my characters are warriors. But they just don't know it yet as they begin the story. And when you think about the world we live in now, and it seems like everything's at war.
Yes.
Wars and rumors of wars. And, you know, there's wars of ideology going on right now, you know, religion to religion, politics to politics, and so on. And it just seems like it's gotten past the old disagreement stage in some cases to what seems to be a fairly beyond the figurative idea of war. People are really getting angry about things. And so that I felt like, you know, bringing in what I saw in the real world and then twisting it, putting it into this new universe. So my characters find themselves being warriors. And so it becomes a matter of them figuring out well, what kind of warrior am I, and who am I warrior for? What am I fighting for? What do I believe in? And that becomes quite a challenge for anybody. And think of the youth today and what they're struggling to do and understand. And so, you know, the idea of being able to perceive and, you know, understand what is good and what is evil at the worst end of things. Certainly, maybe simpler, what is right and what is wrong.
Yes.
And so when you start thinking of those contrasting ideas, that's where we find ourselves right now, and just trying to decide what that is. And you can be a warrior, but, you know, if you're a warrior for the wrong thing, then you're on the wrong side. But how do you know what the right thing and wrong thing is? And that's where it becomes a matter of discerning. And so my two main characters, discover that those are the powers they have. One's a warrior power and the other is a discerning power. And together they make a single powerful force.
Yes.
And so and this is true also with the adults and others in the story, that they find themselves being confused by all of that. So you have individuals who have the ability to be good, but they're just like the rest of us. We also have the ability to do terrible things. And when it comes to war, whether figurative or literal, war can turn good people into monsters. And that's happened many times throughout history, obviously. Yes. And we see it even in figurative wars having to do with ideology and so on, and beliefs. And so discerning is a very important thing. But then understanding what it is, once you've determined that, you know, I've discerned that this is the place I should be, this is what I should go for, this is what I stand for, and then truly having the courage, the strength of conviction, the faith, and all the other attributes of a person that is going to be a warrior for good. And that's what I try to build into the characters. They don't necessarily have it right at the beginning, all of that at the beginning, but the process of learning and growing and what they do, they develop it. It's a stage by stage process. So none of us knows everything, and maybe never will, but each day we learn a little more and a little more.
Yes.
And through the experiences we have in life. And so this is kind of what the characters end up doing. And so, you know, in that process, they discover that the number one priority of a warrior is to preserve peace, which is a real interesting contradiction.
Interesting, yes, it is.
And so first you preserve peace. And if that isn't possible, only then do you take the next step. But you do so for the right reasons: to defend your family, defend your freedom, to defend your beliefs, your rights, and to, you know, defend the good things that are part of your country or your life or your how you live in general. And so if you go for the right things and keep that in mind, certainly seeking power is not something that is a good thing. Seeking riches, again, not good. Greed and all those things, anger, bloodlust, all these things kind of lead to the dark side. And that's how in war monsters are created. Now you have to. Now that jumps to the other kind of side of all this is I have monsters and demons and everything else. Some of them are horrifying creatures. There's one that is different. He's made different. You don't know why. He doesn't know why he's different, but he's smarter. He sees things clearer. He's smaller than all the others. He's very clever, but he's not ruthless. And so he's as a result of bullying and everything else, he finds the opportunity to escape his world and come into ours, and that's makes that connection. He's more like us. So we can learn that monsters can be really quite normal. They could be good people, just like any human can be. In the same sense, humans can be quite monstrous and ruthless and bloodlust. And so we have to be careful that, you know, we're not judging the book by the cover, I guess. You can say that these individuals have to have, you have to have the ability to understand that, again, discerning who is really good and who is bad. And it doesn't have anything to do with what their race is, what their color is, or anything like that. It has a religion or anything else. It has to do with who they are and what's in their heart. And so that's what my little toe becomes, is it becomes this interesting person. And even he, when he gets to this world, finds himself having to learn a very hard, one or two hard lessons himself. That's basically it. You know, what is a monster? What is a human? And yes, sometimes that's really hard to say.
You put so much into the development of the characters. And again, they are entertaining. Emotionally, we attach ourselves to them. We understand. And there's that intellectual connection as well as to what they're going through. And then we see similarities as you're explaining the story as to what we're all going through with at a whole different level in real life as we go through current times. T.B. Bryson, B-R-Y-S-O-N, the author of Shadow Demon, Book 1, and The Shadow Invasion, our guest on the program. Book available wherever books are sold. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's take that a step further. Unique about the world or the universe that you've created. That's such a, you take these characters and you have them in this remarkable world as well. A master storyteller with characters and with this world. Talk about the uniqueness of the universe that you've created.
Yeah, the interdimensional world idea. I mean, other people have done this sort of thing, but mine's a little different. Is that, you know, sometimes, you know, the idea that there's another Earth and it's just like this one, but maybe a little different. And each one, every decision goes a different direction. I think they call it string theory or something like that. But in mine, you know, the idea is, yeah, there are other worlds and they may be related to this world, but the chances of the next world being like this one are almost impossible, because it's likely that the world wouldn't survive even past its first 1 million years before it blew up or something terrible happens, you know. And so, you know, there are some similarities. So there are other worlds that have humanoids and people that look like us or act like us, very similar, different cultures, different beliefs, but they're much the same as us, and maybe on a different level of technological ability and so on. But there are also other worlds that evolved in a whole different direction, and that's where we find things like monsters and demons and other creatures.
Yes.
Mythological creatures. And so it occurred to me that what if the mythological creatures of our world, from Asia, Europe, UK, the Native Americans, when you go around the world, you know, there's some really interesting mythological creatures and tales and stories that are really quite famous and very, very interesting stories. What if they're real, but where they come from is another universe, and we have them, we know about them just from the tales of the fact that sometime in our history they came from that universe to ours and then left. And so we got this connection that is surprising. You're going like, oh, those are just like the Viking gods, or you know, that's like Greek gods or whatever, you know. And that makes them kind of interesting that way. So the whole universe is that different twist of it's knowable But we don't know it because we don't know it exists. We just look back in the past and say, oh, well, that was just a myth. That, that's what people believe. Those stories were made up. But what if our fairy tales and our mythological stories were actually had a seed of truth in them? And that's kind of where it comes from, in another world, other
Interesting,
worlds.
interesting concept. The book is so well written, as is Shadow Witch, and you'll get information on both at Timothy's website, and we'll talk about that as we wrap up the program here. I've got a couple minutes left here. I want to talk about what you hope the message is. I talk about this as beyond entertainment. It's highly entertaining. It's a great read. You can't put the book down once you start with the characters and the world that's unfolding. But what do you hope the takeaway is? What do you want to leave the reader with when they finish reading Shadow Demon?
I think that I want people to think in terms of taking the idea of comparing these characters and what they believe, what they learn, and then applying it to our lives so that they say, oh, well, this person was pretty much like me. They made this mistake, and this is why they made that mistake. So, maybe I can learn from what I read there. So it's, I would like to think that my characters can be impressive enough to inspire people to take a good direction. And the bad characters, the antagonists, hopefully are bad enough that they decide not to do that. But some of my antagonists are quite scary and just naturally evil, and some others are just humans who just make bad decisions. And as a result of it, created an enormous amount of difficulty for others. So I want them to come through that. And then to take that first, and then secondly, to understand that in a world of wars and rumors of wars, that we need to be wise and careful, that we are first seeking out peace, and that we only go to war because we have no other choice. And if we do have to go to war, we go to war for the right reason. And that's a really big issue for me right now, anyway, because of the way the world is.
Yes.
But that's what people go through. And even into the second book, it jumps 2 years. And high school kids are now getting ready to graduate. And they think their lives are going to go back to normal, but they don't. And it gets worse. And so understanding that they are having to figure out how, and their immaturity in many ways, how to navigate these worlds when even the adults are not doing so well with them.
Well,
And,
yeah. Sometimes you look in real life at adults and go, "Wait a minute, what type of message are we sending to our others?" I mean, it's such a well-written book, Shadow Demon, on so many levels. And I really appreciate Timothy T.P. Bryson for being with us on the program today. What other books have you written? What are you working on? And where's the best place to buy the book? I'm talking about Amazon and going to your website. So what have you written, and what are you working on now?
I'm working on book three of the
Oh,
same
good,
series of
good.
the Shadow Invasion series. It takes it again to the next level. And they just keep changing in that way. So a few months after the second book, it continues on. And so I'm working on that right now, and working with a mythology from a Celtic mythology, and as being a really great candidate for an antagonist in this particular book. I've also written several short stories that I'm getting ready to publish, about eight short stories in the same kind of universe, but they're not directly connected. This one, they're just stories of supernatural, romantic. Some of them are romances, some of them are nightmares, and so on. Almost all of my short stories that are there are all directly connected to a dream I've had. And so of all my little dreams, and they work really well to make short stories with.
Never let a
And
good
that should
dream go
be
to
on
waste.
Amazon,
Oh, I'm
it'll be
sorry.
on Amazon when I get it published.
And check for that, and check Timothy's website as well for this. What is this like? I mean, retirement, you sound excited. I love your passion. You're writing all of this. Obviously don't like golf. You're taking advantage of the retirement and writing and thinking and getting us all thinking as well. What's retirement been like for you? You now got full time that you can think about these worlds and these people that you're creating.
Yeah, it's a wonderful exercise in sense to help me keep my gray cells working a little better.
Yes.
As you grow older, things start slipping away a little bit. And it's particularly for people who are retired, if you're not doing something, you're going to be, you'll be deteriorating and going downhill.
Yes.
And so I got really serious into this because I wanted to make sure that didn't happen to me. And also, as you do, you know, we retire, and maybe we can't do the heavy physical work anymore, but we could still use our brains. We could still do things. And
yes,
this, I'm hoping, will be a good experience for people to read these books. And that will be very rewarding to me, of course. And so I hope everybody does get a chance to read them and likes them, and please write some reviews.
Well, yes, that's the key. So you can point them in the direction of other people, and they make great gift ideas. You know, someone that enjoys really sort of slipping away into another world and getting caught up in that. This is the series, the book that we talked about specifically today, Shadow Demon, also available, is the second in the series, Shadow Witch. And information on our website directly to Timothy's website, timothybrysongothambooksinc.com. You can order the books there as well. And, of course, you mentioned Amazon. Any particular place you like to see people go to get the books?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon, of course, Gotham Books. I believe they'll obviously have it. But anywhere that online books are sold. It comes in electronic version as well as a paperback and a hardback. And depending on what you want to buy, you know, all those options are there. Nice, shiny, glossy covers.
They are there, and you can get all the information by linking onto our site. We're going directly to Timothy's website. T.B. Bryson has been our guest. Again, the book series that we're talking about, Shadow Demon and Shadow Witch, working on a third in that series. And hopefully we'll be able to have Timothy back and talk about that as well. Timothy, thank you so much for being with us on the program, sharing the world that you've created. Love what you're doing, a master storyteller. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much for letting me come on your program.
It has been our pleasure, and I'd like to thank Gotham Books for arranging our conversation today. Gotham Books, a premier self-publishing company helping authors bring their literary dreams to life. GothamBooksInc.com. You're listening to This Week in America. If you go to our website, you'll find information on T.B. Bryson, B-R-Y-S-O-N, direct link to his website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.